Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're gonna learn today.
Innovate like a startup, deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's gonna be a great day.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Oh yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Lero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 153. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Arrow, and joining me once again is Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, buddy?
Pete, I feel like I have finally moved to a higher plane of, like, of better execution.
Explain.
So, I've got on a kick. Like, it's we've got spring weather here. I'm starting to clean out my office. I'm starting to, like, do cable management, run these, like, cable things. I've got lights. I've got an automation. I've got to stare at this XML to figure out my Stream Deck. I'm going to just completely clean out this office and make everything all pretty and well cabled and well automated.
All right. So you're really taking advantage of this work from home experience, and you're polishing up that environment to make yourself, you know, look and sound better.
Yeah, that, except for ignore the baby food on the floor. That's I'll clean that up later. But
I like it. Yeah, I also noticed that you have a green screen behind you, but you're also wearing a green shirt. So I think that's not advised.
I mean, it just depends.
You're just gonna be a floating head.
Yeah, I'm gonna be a float. That could be fun.
Nice. All right. Well, John, we've been doing this 7 series for quite a while now. We took a break last week to chat with Patton folks, but I'm glad we're getting back on the saddle of new releases and launches. One of those is VCF4, VMware Cloud Foundation.
I've heard a little bit about it. It seems to be a pretty big deal.
Oh, heck yeah. And we're bringing on one of the experts, Kevin Tebear. We've had him on before. Kevin's a great guy. So, Kevin, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks for having me on, Pete and John.
Yeah, man. So, listen, I know VCF4 or VMware Cloud Foundation 4 just came out, but I think there's a lot of folks that still are not fully aware of what VMware Cloud Foundation is. So what I'd like to do is maybe dedicate some time to just deconstructing what VCF is, and then we'll talk about what's new in VCF4. What do you think?
Sure, absolutely.
Sweet. All right. Well, let's, I like to start at the 50,000 foot view, and then we kind of drill down. So why don't you just kick us off and say, like, what the heck is this thing?
Yeah, no problem. So, going back in history a little bit, we had what was called the VMware Validated Design. And while the VMware Validated Design went into every nook and cranny that you could possibly have in your environment, obviously there was still the amount of time to realize that value. So what we've done with Cloud Foundation is provided an automation engine for you to quickly stand up your infrastructure on day zero, but then deal with those adds, moves, changes on day X. You know, for example, we stand up the management workload domain, which runs vSAN, NSX, and has a STDC manager as your automation engine in there. An STDC manager can then go ahead and create additional workload domains as the construct that we use in VCF. Workload domains are synonymous with a vCenter and cluster, as well as potentially a dedicated NSX instance with that as well.
All right, so let's pause because I know there's a lot more, but I think we can start to dissect a little bit from what you said there. Starting with obviously the VVDs, those were guidance, right? That wasn't any solution or software. This essentially is doing it for you, standing it up. This is, you said STDC manager. So that is the tool, I guess, that actually combines all of these different services that are in your infrastructure and actually deploys it for you and then does the lifecycle management.
Yeah. So on day zero, it's actually an OVA called Cloud Builder. So Cloud Builder, you submit an Excel or a JSON file that you can download directly from the appliance. Fill in your information for your vCenter, your NSX managers, your data store, et cetera, as well as some additional resource pools. And if you choose to peer with your BGP upstream router, fill in all that information and basically hit the big shiny green go button. And it'll come back two and a half hours later, and you have a full software-defined data center stood up, ready to operate. bring on an additional workload domain, you know, as I mentioned earlier, to be able to bring those features and capabilities quickly to the business.
And what's the difference between a management domain and a workload domain?
Sure. So VMware has always had this best practice of creating or separating where your vCenters run, your management components run. So what we've done is taken a prescriptive architecture, deployed those components in there in the management domain. And as you scale out your infrastructure, create additional workload domains, your additional vCenters and NSX managers all get deployed in the management domain, thus being able to quickly protect those components or stretch those components to a secondary site.
Well, and if you've got them all consolidated into one management domain, you're going to have a single RPO that you're probably looking for from a data protection, be that replicating with vSphere replication or backing up with your backup products. From a network design also, it sounds like that cluster, because the NSX edges are getting deployed there, you're going to push a lot of throughput. So that, I assume, you're going to want a pretty fat spine if you've got a lot of separate workload domains chaining off that, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're a prescriptive design goes so far in software, but then there's a hardware side to back it up. You know, to each customer is going to be their own implementation of what that looks like. You mentioned that NSX edges get deployed in management. In you know VCF4 that we just recently released, your NSX edges can be deployed on a per workload domain basis in any cluster in your environment.
Oh, see, that's nice. You can push them out to the workload domain so the traffic doesn't have to hairpin necessarily back to that management workload domain, especially if you've got a big environment, there are different racks.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Especially in the case where you may have a multi-rack, you may want a set of edges on a per cluster basis. And we can definitely scale to support that as well.
Because otherwise the traffic has to leave the top of racks, go up to the spine, come over to the top of racks for the management. So you're going through three switches. Instead of going through three switches, you can keep it down to the one.
Oh, absolutely. In addition to that, the obviously the NSX managers will still exist in that management workload domain, regardless of how many workload domains you create.
Is it backing up the NSX manager configs to the lifecycle manager or in the management domain for you?
So by default, we back up the NSX manager configs on an hourly basis. We give you the automation within SDDC manager to point all of your NSX manager backups to an SFTP location. So a couple URLs, a username and a password, and your NSX manager backups and configurations are now backed up, automated on an hourly basis to an external
service. See, SFTP, I'm going to have to put in a feature request for NFS for reasons I won't explain. So,
so you mentioned that you've got, you know, they've got this management domain, which I know is it's vSAN on the storage side. And then the workload domains can obviously be vSAN. They can be other things. But what is the purpose of having multiple workload domains? Just curious.
Absolutely. We look at this as purpose-built infrastructure. So, you know, workload domain one, let's say you want to use vSphere with Kubernetes in there. It's recently launched and also has automation from a VCF perspective.
Yeah.
We can dedicate workload domain one to your developers, give them role-based access controls. But from a cloud administrator perspective, you're able to manage and provide infrastructure to them without them needing to be able to log into your management domain and where your crown jewels are buried, so to speak, right? In addition to that, you may have a workload domain that might be purpose-built for an application or several applications. There is another use case there, which is if I want to deploy Horizon, as an example, I could definitely consume one of my workload domains, separate that traffic out, and host all my desktops in a single workload domain. You know, when I was an SE, customers would build environments specifically for Oracle or SQL or Linux or Microsoft licensing.
Licensing derived workload domains. Yeah. The Oracle and the SQL one are. When you're paying $40,000 a core, you want to, okay, DBAs, here's your little playground. And
yeah,
no one else is going to waste your expensive cores.
That's the original equalizer, isn't it?
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I can definitely, if I was a customer, I could definitely see the value of something like VMware Cloud Foundation because I've already had to deal with all of these intricate details of my infrastructure. So yeah, I think there's a lot of value to bringing that all together and also making sure that it's actually validated. Yeah, that seems like a much better play to me.
Yeah, and I mean, with that, it's not just the day zero value that we're bringing. I mean, standing up your infrastructure, unless you're a development shop and you're quickly turning around workload domains, in the case of VCF, your value isn't there. your value is in a prescriptive architecture that there isn't a lot of knobs that you can turn on. It makes it much more supportable and predictive for GSS, et cetera, when and if you have to create a support case. But it's also the day X that becomes hard. There's configuration drift that happens over a certain amount of time. And when you start to look at, you know, upgrade guides to get from version X to version Y, you realize that there's actually a version X.1 you need to go to first before you can get to version Y. So many of my customers, when I was an SE, the lifecycle management capabilities that SDDC Manager offers truly fixed their internal processes. They no longer have to go out and look at this giant HCL spreadsheet across, you know, all of the hardware providers in their environment and the software providers in their environment. They look at, you know, SDDC Manager and say, okay, I can download this update and apply this update. I already know that that update has been curated for me and tested.
Ah, so that's good.
So when I go and apply this update, I don't have to be in a panic situation to apply that update or worry that it may break something.
Well, it looks like there's kind of a journey of life cycle here. So if we go back to the Stone Ages, you had all these discrete components and you manually ran an installer or an upgrade tool for every individual component. You know, you would chisel firmware into your, you know, into your servers and things like that using out of bands. You'd upgrade the vCenter first and then do the host and then the Horizon, but not before you upgrade the subcomponent that, like, It was this thing I used to as a consultant. I'd bill you $10,000 a week to sit down and pull out all the star charts, I call them, all the alignments of upgrade paths, and read through all the known issues, which were always fun, and find that way to upgrade this environment that had three or four VMware solutions and then one or two external things. And we evolved to, okay, we got some of these tools a little better. There's some internal LCM tools that helped within that sub product, but you still had to go to a VVD or something to find kind of that pathway. And that VVD upgrade guide would be 70, 80 pages. This looks like we've landed at the you know, we're moving all this up and we're automating fully and we're bringing all this together and we're reducing the need for John to bill you 10,000 hours to sit there for 40 hours and tell you, okay, this is going to take 3 weeks and another $30,000 to get from here to there.
And by the way, there's a software update that I didn't know about that is also going to be required once we get to the end, because there was just a critical patch, right? Always the case when, you take a look back just in the recent history of Spectre and Meltdown and the amount of turn that caused on, you know, just vSphere admins to go out and upgrade all their environments, et cetera, to patch for that.
Yep.
It was.
Well, and security is actually winning now. It used to be you would have these admins who would say, no, we're staying on Windows 2003 forever. We're going to stay on ESX4 forever. And we're just going to never, no one's touched the upgrade button in so long. We've lost that. We don't even have the muscle memory to know how to upgrade. And then when Spectre and Meltdown came out, the security were like, no, this is an absolute gong.
Not an option. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that has helped make people aware of, because upgrades weren't a problem if you never did them. But
well, the biggest fear with the upgrades was that you were going to, you know, this is why a lot of folks don't want to be leading bleeding, because of the bleeding part. You know, you don't want to download something that has not been validated or certified. So what I'm hearing, though, is with VCF, if I go into SDDC Manager and I get some updates, they've already been validated for my infrastructure.
Yeah, absolutely. Taking in that support matrix of all the software that we're deploying and making sure there's interoperability before we even upgrade to that release. Namely, is NSX compatible with X software that we're also deploying? So from that aspect, you worry less about the compatibility portion. You get the easy button of just being able to say, okay, this is already curated for my environment. When do I want to schedule this update? And being able to provide those updates in a timely fashion. You know, some critical patches have been security patches, we're shipping those patches anywhere from, you know, 48 to 72 hours after the patch comes out. But you're getting the full story. You're not having to build a remediation plan for your environment. You just decide when you want to schedule that update, which makes it much easier for customers to adopt.
Okay, so we've got automation on the networking. We've got automation on the storage. What about just the management of the compute and the infrastructure and the roll-up kind of dashboards and RMMs and stuff like that?
Yeah, so from a SDDC manager perspective or Cloud Foundation perspective, we're shipping SKUs that include the entire vRealize suite in addition to that. So vRealize automation. To your point, John, we also include tools like vRealize operations to be able to provide that, you know, buzzword bingo, single pane of glass to ensure that you can operate your environment and give your administrators a tool to be able to learn the trends of your environment and monitor and manage it going forward.
Sweet. Well, I think that's a good foundation of VCF. Now, I know there's been a recent announcement that VMware Cloud Foundation 4 is out. So I want to talk a little bit about what's new there and what are some of the new use cases that you guys have.
Yeah, so we're really focused on the developer-ready infrastructure with this release. So not only are we providing NSXT ubiquitously, so management domain, workload domain, everything runs NSXT 3.0. In addition to that, also shipping, you know, vSAN 7, vSphere 7, obviously vCenter 7 with that as well. With all of those components, we're then able to enable vSphere with Kubernetes or the artist formerly known as Project Pacific, looking at the VMworld 2019 announcements. So with VCF, vSphere with Kubernetes, you truly have a environment that can scale for your developers, providing that cloud-like experience. So when your developer comes to ask you, hey, I need more infrastructure for Kubernetes, it's a matter of a couple of clicks to add a couple of hosts or shrink a workload domain and repurpose those hosts for a different cluster in your environment. So as the traditional vSphere admin goes, he doesn't need to know what Kubernetes is or how to talk container speak. He's able to provide what the developer is looking for, that developer-ready infrastructure, and accelerate, you know, the business goals at the end of the day, all doing that in an on-prem cloud-like experience.
So getting into some of the just technical specifics here, I can have that container, that workload domain that's spinning up some Kubernetes clusters on my vSphere cluster and run VMs at the same time in the same cluster, right?
Oh, 100%. So enabling a cluster for vSphere with Kubernetes does not inhibit you in any way from running VMs within that same cluster. In fact, that's the main value proposition of vSphere with Kubernetes is to be able to provide unified management for the vSphere admin. So that way, if the developer wants containers today or a legacy app, well, I guess
you got a database that you're not going to refactor for a container right now. You already have a template for SQL or for Oracle. You could drop that in, right?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I also saw that VCF 4 also supports VLCM now. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We are offering our initial support for VLCM, or for those that may not know, vSphere Lifecycle Manager, to do BIOS and firmware patching on qualified hardware. So there is a VLCM qualified hardware today. I think that is Dell and some Dell and some HP servers.
Yeah.
But as we, you know, build that ecosystem out, this from a user experience standpoint is going to be amazing to be able to deliver BIOS, firmware, et cetera, patching, all delivered through SDDC Manager. You know, that being said, while we are able to leverage VLCM, we still use VUM, or vSphere Update Manager, that we've all known to love over the last many years. And the reason for that is that it's a little bit of a chicken and the egg situation. But from the management domain, we're still going to use VUM. In addition, vSphere with Kubernetes also requires VUM. So from that aspect, VUM is still very present. And until, you know, more qualified hardware is brought in, then we'll be able to leverage that for additional workload domains and future use cases.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Those that want to try out VLCM, obviously it can work, but I can definitely see the whole chicken and egg thing and the need for VUM today for that. But yeah, I definitely see, I see a future for VLCM in general. I think it's a cool product. I like the way that it's consolidating all of the different pieces of lifecycle management. So yeah, I think that's going to have some legs.
Especially for vSAN based workload domains. Now I'm not going out to manage a third party's hardware.
Yeah.
So, you know, while we support third-party storage, NFS or VMFS over Fibre Channel, truly the best experience is vSAN, especially when you incorporate VLCM to that in the future. Now you're not managing any third-party hardware updates other than maybe your switch. But generally, they don't have a firmware version that's required for vSphere.
Yep.
So it really becomes, how do I, you know, now take advantage of VCF 4 if I'm a 3.9 customer or 3.x customer. With that, We have a component called multi-instance management. This provides federation. So not NSX federation, it is federation from VCF instance to VCF instance. So when you stand up your first VCF instance, maybe that was 3.9, maybe it will be 4.0, you're able to create a federation. The federation allows you to scale to multi-site or multi-deployment and federate your VCF or SDDC managers between those locations, consolidating that down into one pane to manage all of your VCF instances.
I like it. I like it. Yeah. So yeah, VCF 4 sounds pretty interesting, especially for those shops that are trying to support their developers. I also like VCF in general. I kind of like, you know, recently Pat Gelsinger was talking, I don't know if it was on our podcast, John, or if it was in one of the internal meetings, but he started refer to VMware Cloud in general, like just the bigger picture, this vision for VMware of just having VMware Cloud, which encompasses all the infrastructure. So I think VCF kind of fits really nicely into that because it's encompassing all of the different stacks inside of the infrastructure and just putting it all in one big solution. So I think this is a pretty exciting product. And yeah, I think we're going to be hearing a lot more about it. Yeah,
to add on to that, take a look at VMware Cloud Foundation as truly the cloud platform to run your business on. You know, that being said, to get started with VCF and VCF 4, visit the VMware Cloud Foundation Resource Center. Pete will put the link in the show notes here, but it is vmware.com/go/VCFRC. And on there, Tech Marketing is constantly adding new content, and we provide iSIMs or simulations of doing day X actions in VCF. But a great resource to be able to consume VCF in addition to, you know, hands-on labs as a available option.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of great content. I've seen lightboards. I've seen, heck, there's a VCF lab constructor if folks want to actually deploy it in their own labs, and tons of really good blogs and videos. So I will be sure to leave the show notes of this podcast filled with a bunch of VCF information.
Absolutely. VLC is a great resource for home labs or POCs for customer environments where they don't have all the infrastructure ready to stand it up. If you want to put that in the show notes links,
we'll do. Side note, Kev, you sound wonderful, man. That's a new microphone you got there.
I guess so. You know, when when you put up with John and Pete, you end up spending a lot of money on audio gear.
Well, you sound great, man. You definitely podcast worthy.
The key to getting invited on the show is not actually be knowledgeable; it's just have really good audio gear. I think what Pete's hinting at. So,
well, then we can start talking about Stream Deck configs and how to leverage that within, you know, podcasting and Zoom calls and whatnot.
Oh yeah, that's a whole separate nerd option topic that we'll definitely have to have on an after show. Kev, thanks for joining us, man. And John, anything else before we take off?
No, I think I've macroed myself into a corner. If I do any more automation on this right now, it's just, I'm probably just going to crash the computer. So, in fact, the cable management, my chair can't move. I've apparently wrapped myself in. Send help. Send cookies.
I like it. All right. Well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this and all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. A big thanks to Kevin T. Bear for joining us this week. We're back next week, but until then, bye for now.
Enough of this jibber jabber.